This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
First hour of 2026 on this show has concluded. Now into the 7 o'clock hour. Good morning. Happy Monday from all of us here at 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens with you until 10 o'clock. And then I'm assuming that 10 to 2 Ruckus crew with Cody Gold and Drew will be back. Can't wait for Drew to get here. He took one of my tweets out of context.
Oh, he did?
I don't know. Something. I was just like, you know.
I feel bad. We bonded in Topeka. I really had a good time with Drew.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And I'm sorry that he took your tweet out of context.
Yeah. He was just like, what a world. Chiefs celebrated a 9th pick. And like, dude, that's not what I'm celebrating. I'm just giving stats at the end of the season. You know? 1-5 against the AFC West. Didn't beat a playoff team. Last win, November 23rd. And then it just, you know.
Like, it was really good that they ended up losing these last three games because from what I've been told, and as you know, I talk to a lot of people in this town, the Chiefs have about 12 to 14 guys that they view as first-round talents right now in the draft, 12 to 14. So being in that top 10 has given them the opportunity to get what they consider a true first round talent in this draft. Because every year you look at the drafts and you're like, how many true first round players are there? And there's usually somewhere between 15 and 17, maybe, you know, on a good year. We'll talk to Binkley about that on Wednesday and kind of find out. But I do know that like the Chiefs have 12 to 14 guys, I believe right now, that they consider first round talents on the board, and picking number 9 assures you're going to get one of those guys that you have a first round talent grade on. So that's the good news. I mean, I don't think like waking up this morning, I don't think anybody should be mad, guys, that the Chiefs aren't in the playoffs. We've had time to get over that at this point in time, right? Like this needs to be now as we move forward, the healing process, however you want to kind of, you know, describe it moving forward with this thing. I think the anger that probably dissipated back in week 13 or 14 where you wrote season over week 14, the loss to Houston. I think everybody kind of started, you know, healing. You had the holidays to get in the way, and now we're just on to the off season. And it's a good thing to have a top 10 pick. You got to take advantage of it right now.
And realistically, you're probably picking 7th overall, because I would assume the first two picks of the draft will take quarterbacks. I think the Raiders have to take Mendoza. Maybe they don't have to, but I would assume that they would. Geno Smith is not going to be their quarterback next year. I don't think Pete Carroll is going to come back. What do teams do with a new coach and a number one overall pick with a quarterback waiting? They normally do that.
Yeah. So the Raiders do have the first pick, right?
Yeah, with the Giants beating the Cowboys, it solidified their number one overall pick yesterday.
Right. So Raiders first, Jets second.
Yep. Quarterback.
So
now you go from 9 to 7.
Arizona number 3. They need a quarterback too. Like how many quarterbacks are we talking? Fernando Mendoza obviously is going to be one
depends
or two.
Depends on what you believe in. Not Raiola. He's coming back. What's the kid?
Raiola's transferred, right?
Yeah. What's the kid?
Yes,
from?
Yes, he did.
He did.
Oh yeah, he went into the portal. Yeah,
he's in the portal.
He's come back. Well, what's the kid from the you hate out of Vanderbilt?
Oh yeah,
Diego Pavia.
He's not a top 10 draft pick.
Who
he's not
are,
a
first round pick. Who are the top quarterbacks?
Diego Pavia is Dylan Gabriel, and that is not really.
Or he's like hyperbolic. A hybrid between. He's like the really poor man's Baker Mayfield and the rich man's Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, best.
And he's like a gray matter of that. And then you have
It's Dante Moore from Oregon. If he declares, he will be the first overall pick.
Also,
in my opinion.
Let's not sleep on this kid from Ole Miss. Well, also, it's a great story.
It's a great story. Trinidad Chambliss.
And he could possibly, because you know the backup that was the starter, you know where he's going to school next year.
Texas Tech?
Mizzou.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
So, Eli?
I just guessed Tech because they're getting everybody.
They're getting everybody.
All right. So,
But say the people will reach on quarterbacks, right? They always do in the top five. True. So while you're saying Diego Pavia is not a first-round draft pick, it's never stopped an NFL team from drafting Kyler Murray.
Yeah, but...
Again, Kyler Murray...
Big difference.
Yeah,
or Josh Rosen.
True. Yeah, that's true. That's a terrible pick.
But I mean, I'm talking like before the Chiefs pick. I think there'll be at least one, possibly two quarterbacks taken. You know, after that pick, you're going to have to protect Jackson Dart. They're taking a lineman. They're going to take the best offensive tackle available at their position.
Or they may go defense, too. I mean, they could continue to stack that. It depends on who their head coach is, too.
Right.
You know?
We also saw what happened to that quarterback all year long. Yep. Part of it was self-inflicted.
Yes.
So I asked Mac a question. I'm going to ask you this question. The Chiefs went 6-11 this year. Do you believe, is there more belief that you have that Andy Reid will get back to a Super Bowl? Or that he will have a season like this or worse again?
So hard to get to a Super Bowl. And it's so easy to have a bad season.
913-586-7965. Andy Reid gets back to a Super Bowl or they have another season like this or worse under his tenure?
I'm going to go with the Super Bowl because these seasons are actually more rare for Andy Reid than Super Bowl seasons. How many times has he been the Super Bowl as a head coach? Five? Right? Five here in Kansas City.
Six.
So he's been to the Super Bowl six times. Yeah, how many losing seasons has he had? Three?
I think so.
Three or four?
He hasn't won as a Chiefs coach.
This is his first one. This is his first losing season as a Chiefs coach.
His worst season before this was 9-7 in year two when they played a first place schedule.
No, his last 2 years in Philly were
as a Chiefs head coach.
Yeah, 9-7 before. Right. So I'm going to say there was probably four seasons that Andy Reid finished below 500. As a head coach in this league.
Yeah.
Right. Four. Three in Philly and one here, right?
Yep.
And so
500 exactly one other year.
So he has gone to the Super Bowl more than he has finished under 500 in his career. Let that marinate out there in Fire Andy Reid land, okay? Mm-hmm. Where those people are residing. Andy Reid has been to the Super Bowl more times than he's had losing records as a head coach in the NFL. So to answer your question, I would lean towards Super Bowl because the math tells me the odds are better that Andy Reid's going to go to the Super Bowl than have a losing season. And that's weird. It's
because
bizarre.
What you said at the start of the show is that next year could be a rebuild year.
Yeah, could be a rebuild year. Yeah, absolutely. Now, is rebuild 9-8? Is rebuild, 8-9? That type. What is a rebuild type of year? But I do believe, they also thought the first year of Patrick Mahomes was going to be an 8-8 year.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. But I know just from talking to enough people, clearly I do, that this organization is going to have one of those kind of a reboot, if you will. To try to kind of get back to where they need to be.
But from every single level.
Yeah.
Outside of Clark, Mark, and Brett.
Yeah.
Those are safe, obviously, and Andy.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get after four, it's everybody's. Guess what? Pelissero and Rapoport are reporting that Nagy's more than likely the fit for Tennessee. We'll see if it happens.
Well, he did not sign a contract extension this past offseason. And I know from talking to enough people that he is going to be a hot commodity this offseason. So there is a reason why he did not sign a contract extension. Look, when you're an offensive coordinator in Kansas City, you're not really the offensive coordinator, right? You're just kind of there because Andy, it's Andy's offense. And I think guys who want to grow in their jobs and want to do more, like Mac, let's take you for example. Let's say you got a hosting opportunity somewhere to go be a full-time host and that's what you always wanted to do. I would expect you to take that job and go do that because that helps you grow as a person, right? It helps you grow as a human, as a person in their industry. And I think Matt wants to grow a little bit more and get out and spread his wings a little bit because, again, people think he was a bad head football coach. He took Mitchell Trubisky to the playoffs two times in 3 years in Chicago. And so he's going to have opportunities out there. I'm excited to see what kind of opportunities he does have.
No, and he should want to go take those. That's good for him. I'm excited. And I think it could be a beneficial parting of ways for both, honestly.
If they make the right decision, though, but if they fall back on Eric Bieniemy or Mike Kafka,
I agree.
That sucks.
I agree with you.
That sucks.
Don't go back to the well. I love this text to answer your question, Dusty. If Andy coaches like he has the last 2 years, he will never sniff the playoffs again.
I do think that's 2 years.
I agree. I think we talk about that last Super Bowl run to the Eagles, that was on fumes, man. That was nothing new, nothing innovative. That was fumes and a good team and the best quarterback ever. That was not working. Andy Reid.
And it was working. Yeah. Why get in the way of that?
Yeah,
now
of course,
it was working, but it was. And you still got to the Super Bowl. And now you've had the opportunity to hit that reset button. You can't hit the reset button when you're going to the World Series or when you're going to the Super Bowl.
It's true.
Even if you need to hit the reset button, you can't. Because
it's hard to continue it.
Look, I go back to an old story that Scott Pioli told me. He said, I should have fired Todd Haley after that year. We went 10-6 and made the playoffs. He goes, but all you guys would have crushed me in the media and we couldn't do it. We're coming off a 10-6 season. We made it to the playoffs. I can't fire the head coach. Even though it would have been the right decision to do, I couldn't do that. And so winning gets in the way of you making those decisions. The minute you start to lose and it's not going that way, now you get the opportunity to make all those changes that maybe you've been wanting to make for a while.
It's interesting. But yeah, not talking playoffs, talking future of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up next on the other side, though, do want to get into some more of that as we talk about that. But we'll also talk to Derek Johnson one last time. Put a bow on the season with DJ next here on 96.5 The Fan. You're on for Kansas City Sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Chris Jones, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler and four-time Pro Bowler.
Derek Johnson picks it. He's up the right sideline, 30-yard line, 25, and down into Washington territory. Derek Johnson.
But to us, he's our forever linebacker.
I want to be battle tested. I want to go through some adversity. I want to go through some things where you say, "Oh man, we gotta figure this out."
Here's number 56, Derek Johnson, with Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. You hear the promo every Monday at 7:15-ish. DJ, brought to you by Community American Credit Union, member owned, open to all. Community American Credit Union, invested in you. All right, DJ, you're on the clock. You got the 9th overall pick. Who do you take as the general manager for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Oh, man. That's why they get, you get 3 or 4 months to really hone that in and have a lot of input. It's a lot of work that goes into the NFL draft and seeing how do you make your team more complete. We don't have a crazy amount of holes, but the obvious one is you got to get a running back, maybe a couple offensive linemen. Got to go on the defense side of the ball as well. You always want to add hopefully another pass rusher. What we do on our defensive backs and how we move people around. You got to add somebody there. But with the 9th pick, man, oh man, I'm going to be swimming. The good thing about this year, I'll be in front of the TV because we'll be getting somebody that's pretty freaking good.
Yeah, that is the good thing. Having a top 10 pick makes it all better with the way that the season ended. But what does a season like this do for a player? Like, these guys are going to go back. Did they have their exit interviews? And then what? Like, how does a player respond to this type of season?
Yeah, unfortunately, I know a little bit about this.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's a time to reset. Football is a hard sport, regardless, winning or losing. And when you have a season like this, a challenging season, it just makes it harder. Don't get me wrong, the guys are the fellas are definitely disappointed about the season, but there will be some relaxed time for the next month or so before they start training again, believe it or not. Right after the Super Bowl, everybody will start training back again. So it'll pull around here pretty soon. But it's a good time to reset. Football takes a lot out of your body. It takes a lot out of your mind. Your body gets a chance to heal up. I mean, your car crashes every play. So it's just to play at a high level and have 17 games, really the last, 10 years, they've been over 10 years, they've been having more than 17 games. So, man, my hat's off to the team. Not the year we wanted, but we're not like some other organizations that you say, man, wow, we just, you know, we don't know what we're going to do. You know, we'll be in the thick of it every year, wrecking people, stay healthy. Pat's a big reason for that. The big storyline, honestly, before that NFL draft stuff, we got to figure out if a man is, you know, if he's going to retire or not. That's what we're kind of crossing our fingers, seeing if he's going to come back.
What side of the fence are you on that? Do you want to see him come back? Because obviously you don't like to see guys go out in a 6-11 season with a starting quarterback, but also you watch guys play, you played with guys that hell you got to that age. What do you think happens?
Yeah. I want him to go one more year, but this is something that you got to take time and you got to take a break. I know he's getting married this off season and whatnot, but, I want to see him come back. I'm just like the fans. I'm selfishly I'm like, man, I just want to see him out there, you know, take one more stab at it. But if he does retire, he's done a hell of a job. He's a Hall of Famer, first ballot. He's got 3 Super Bowls. I mean, 13 Pro Bowls, or 11 Pro Bowls or whatnot. He's done well. So I can't gripe about it if he hangs up the cleats.
What was it like for you to come to that decision? Was it more made for you, or did you actually have an opportunity to make that decision for yourself?
Yeah, it's hard because you play football your whole life. And, it's a good life. It's a dream that you had since a little kid, and you don't want to let it go regardless of if you say, man, you made a lot of money and you did this and, you know, made some, you know, shook some hands and made a bunch of relationships. You know, you can, you know, it's easy to call it quits. It's not. And it's even harder when I say, someone who's won 3 Super Bowls, you know, sometimes you can, you know, try to chase that ring as long as possible, as long as your body can. He has 3 of them. So this decision might be a little easier for him, but it's all hard. It's all hard. Football is a part of your life. Football's got a lot of components about life on how to get knocked down, getting back up, handling adversity, working with others. I'm sure he's built some relationships that's going to last forever. But we'll be listening to the radio, listen to the TV. We'll be tuned in to see what our man Travis does.
DJ, you talk about the draft process and how it's long. You went in the year of the linebacker in 2005, 36 linebackers taken, the most of any position in that draft. What's that like when a team comes in? Because I'm sure you get a lot of interviews, and then that one team comes in, you're kind of like, I like what they had to say. And, you know, only 2 guys ahead of you that go, which I'm sure you respect both, which is DeMarcus Ware and Sean Merriman. Those are the only 2 linebackers went ahead of you. One of them is a Hall of Famer, and then you go 15th overall to the Kansas City Chiefs. What was that meeting like? What was that sort of picture they tried to paint for you in that sort of, you know, pre-draft room?
Yeah, it's a busy process. I enjoyed it going to the different teams and seeing what they had to say. It's a lot of stuff goes into the NFL draft, and you really don't have any control over where you get picked. So you just want to go to a situation where you can have a chance to prolong your career and not be in and out, be into a great situation, have a chemistry there. And Dave Vermeil drafted me in 2005, and he kind of told me that he didn't think that I kind of fail in the draft, believe it or not, even though it was first round to the 15th pick. He didn't think that, you know, they needed help on the defense side of the ball. He said, I don't think, you know, that you'll be able to we'll be able to draft you, but, you know, if that comes to play, just know at 15 pick, we are definitely going to pick you up. And I was thinking the same thing, like, I don't know, coach, you know, because a lot of people have been telling me, you know, it's, you know, you go from 8-9 or 15th was the last pick that I will go to. But when we got to the draft, I started seeing people get taken, DeMarcus Ware, Rashawn Merriman, Thomas Davis.
Thomas Davis, right before you.
Yeah. There you go. But then 15th pick, man, Carl Peterson and Dickford Mill called me up, said, hey, you want to come to the Midwest? And I was like, heck yeah, get me off the clock right now.
There you go. Love that story, man. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, that is good. I mean, and you know, it worked out well for you, right? Like, people always wonder, man, I should have been drafted higher. But you get drafted 15, you get drafted into this situation, and you're still a voice in Kansas City, you know, 20 years later or whatever it's been, you know? It's been a while, and it became a home for you.
Yeah, I tell that story a lot. And I tell that story to rookies coming out into the NFL trying to make their dreams come true. That's a great, great point. You never know where you're gonna get drafted. It's really not about what number you get drafted to. It's what you do when you get there, after you get drafted. Because I've been around second, third, seventh round picks, rookie free agent guys that make a living for themselves in the NFL after they get there. It's all about, you know, after you get picked up. Obviously, I was a first round pick, so I was more fortunate than the other picks at times. But it's all about once you get there, man, you can make a good living in the National Football League, and dreams come true in April for these college guys.
Do you think more guys that are drafted fail in the NFL because of them or because of the situations that they're drafted into?
Ooh, man, that's a good question. I couldn't pinpoint it on. On one or the other. It's got to be a little bit of both. There's two things. You got to have the right mindset. You got to hit the playbook hard. They drafted you for a reason because you are a talented individual, but you have to maximize and optimize your opportunities by the mental part of the game. We all in the NFL, nobody's, you know, other than Tyreek Hill or maybe a couple guys, nobody else is crazy faster or crazy stronger. Everybody else, it's a lot of parity when it comes to the physicalness in the NFL. The difference is the mental aspect of the game, being able to clear your mind so you can play free and fast and show your ability more often. That's the secret sauce. And once you can, once that light clicks on for you, man, some good things happen. Then you got to be in a good situation, good scheme of defense, good scheme of offense. All that stuff comes to play. This is a team game, so you can't just go out there and say, hey, I'm good. You know, things are going to happen. You got to be in the right situation.
DJ, we appreciate all the time this year. You know, God bless you and your family and everything this offseason. We'll do it again next year, I assume, and then enjoy the draft and everything else that continues to move forward in your life and your family's in 2026, brother.
Man, I really, really appreciate y'all. Thank y'all, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, DJ.
Thank you. That is Derek Johnson, brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open-to-all Community America Credit Union, invested in you.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Kenny Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
There's a meme out there of the Ravens team plane going to Cancun. And it's got the goalpost set up at Cancun, and it goes wide right.
That's great.
I will retweet that, yes.
Well, we could start there. Last night, I mean, it was an incredible, incredible game. Cinema, these NFC North games, they always come down to the wire. Steelers, Ravens, yet again, it was a win and get-in situation. And, well, we'll let Mike Tirico tell you what happened.
And Harbaugh is telling Likely how special that play was to set up this moment for the rookie out of Arizona. The Ravens, of course, had Justin Tucker for so long. The most accurate kicker in the history of the league. Rodgers can't believe what he has just witnessed. It might be the end for him. But they went around the country and spoke to a lot of the kickers who were coming out. And they decided Tyler Loop was made of the right stuff for moments like this. He now has a chance to win the division for the Ravens. The final play of the regular season for the final spot in the playoffs. Tyler Loop from 44. Snap good. Holding. The kick is no good. It is wide right. And the Steelers are the champions of the North.
Yeah, I think it's a really great call by Mike Tirico, first of all. I think that needs to be said. That was a great setup. I mean,
yeah,
as good a setup as you can get.
Yeah.
And then the guy misses the kick. One word is electrifying. That's the way the NFL wanted their regular season to end, and they got it.
Yeah, my one word is closure. I think that's, I mean, why not, right? You say electrifying. Yeah. You remember how the season started. You just saw how the season ended. It involved the Ravens, coincidentally.
One in between their 270 other games, you know?
Crazy. But yeah, just it's wild, man. That's entertaining, electric, NFL, on brand, the Shield. That's why.
And, of course, it's coming out today that the one of the guys on defense for the Steelers may have jumped over the center, oh, which course, is illegal. Yeah. Like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, hey, make the kick,
did they
man.
Call
you got to make
it?
The kick.
They didn't. No, okay. No. Then it didn't happen. Yeah. If I had, you know,
150,
I'd be an aunt.
Yeah.
You know how it is. If my aunt had male parts, she'd be my uncle.
That's exactly right. Thank you, Mike. Yeah.
And there he is after the win. We'll continue on. The Chiefs did not get a win. The regular season did not end the way that we wanted it to. Well, I guess now everything that we know, maybe it did. The Chiefs get the 9th overall pick, and they do lose to the Raiders. Really, the big story for the Chiefs now is, is Travis Kelce done? This was him in the locker room and his timeline to make that decision if he's going to play next year.
First things first, I just love this team. Guys like Chris Jones over here pointing at me from across the room. I love that guy.
Chris Jones!
I'm just I'm proud of the way we finished this, even though, you know, it ended the way it did. Guys still showed up, gave it their all, and that's all you can ask for, man. And I got so much love for this team, this organization, and the people here. So I'll spend some time with them and go through exit meetings tomorrow and get close to the family and figure things out. Either it hits me quick or I got to take some time. I think last year it was a little bit easier. I think I knew right away I wanted to kind of give this one a shot. So I don't know. We'll see.
We can do one word on that, but first, this was Chris Jones on what he thinks about Travis Kelce and his future as a Kansas City Chief or as a retired player.
I'm not buying it. He'll be back next year.
Bane?
I'm not buying it.
Oh.
Is that a promise?
I can't promise you anything about another man, but I don't know. This year was a tricky year for us. I got faith my dog coming back.
Mm. Chris Jones also didn't know they were eliminated from the playoffs. So
sound like Bane. I know his hands were in his mouth.
Yeah, like I don't really care what Chris Jones has to say on the subject, to be honest with you, because it's, and as he said, I'm not making this decision for another man. But I will say the one word that I will use is whatever. And that's not being flippant. That's being whatever Travis wants to do. If he wants to walk away, I'm good with that. If he wants to come back for another year, I'm good with that as well. But I've made my peace. I believe it's going to be, you know, his last game. We were at the game on Christmas night, and you can kind of get that sense a little bit from the player introductions. I was told by sources that Ed was handing out friendship bracelets outside the suites and whatnot for everybody to get.
You didn't
obviously
get one?
Taylor was there. I did not. Obviously, aww, Taylor was there in the, you know, the whole family was there on Christmas night to see what could potentially be his last game. So, I mean, I think it lines up that he is going to leave, but if he wants to come back, fine. Come back, man. Let's go.
I'll give you 2 1 words for each one, and then I want to give you some breaking news. One word for Travis, vague, as it should be.
Yeah.
He doesn't know anybody anything yet. It's right after the season ended. 2 for Chris Jones, denial. That's the problem. And I know that's harsh, but, dude, it's over. Like, that era,
yeah,
is
that
done.
Era is done. Yeah.
It's done. You and Pinnell, you and Frank Clark, you and that, that's done,
and
man.
They
it's
need
time
to let
to
that
move.
Go. Yeah.
Move on. Here's your breaking news. Falcons are hiring a new president of football.
It is not Matt Ryan, is it?
Which many expect to be former Atlanta quarterback Matt Ryan.
Hey!
And now, somebody's hiring Troy Aikman to be like, what experience do these guys have to run an organization?
Same as Tom Brady?
Which is none.
Well,
how did that go?
I'll answer your question with a question. What would be the experience needed? Because the experience is not running an organization, because that's not what happens, right? You have to start somewhere. So what is the experience?
What's the
resume you want?
I want somebody that understands what this workload is going to be, how to evaluate talent, how to sit in meeting rooms, how to evaluate film, how
I've
to be a scout.
I've got three out of four so far from Matt Ryan or Troy Aikman. You named one thing, work ethic. In my
opinion, which
film,
is
film, scouting players. These guys know what they're doing.
They don't want to do any of that, though. You got to be diligent. You got to sit there. You've got to put in the hours.
Well, maybe
you got to grind this one. one.
Maybe they miss the game so much that they want to be a part of it. It's like, I knew I wasn't going to be an athlete, but how am I going to be able to stay around sports the rest of my life, get involved with
what Troy Aikman and Matt Ryan are doing right now, probably a lot more lucrative than going and running an organization too.
Yeah, I mean,
they're already doing the most lucrative thing they could be doing, man.
Yeah.
They're on TV. So that's I don't right. think this is about money.
Don't F it up.
I think this is about loving the game. Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah, I would tell all these teams to stay away from that. I would tell all these players to stay away from that.
You don't like the nerds either, and you don't like the former players.
No, it's not about the former players. It's like we're just giving these guys an opportunity because what has Matt Ryan done to prove that he can run an organization?
Well, I mean, what do coaches do that they have proven that they all of a sudden, like, what did Liam Cohen do to prove that he could be a winning?
Had a good offense and got promoted. You know, I don't mind the promotion thing. I don't mind if you take an assistant GM that, you know, helped turn around the Panthers or something like that and make him the GM.
Matt Ryan is the greatest quarterback in Atlanta Falcons history. Maybe he has some sort of take on how you can get a quarterback to change that franchise.
Yeah, but they weren't all that great with him down there. I mean, they were
Super Bowl one MVP.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, I would have expected a lot more out of Matt Ryan, quite honestly. I think they underachieved down there. I just think it's a bad look. I think these players think that they have an idea what they're going to do. I mean, what did Tom Brady do in Vegas? They were 2-15 or whatever it was.
Yeah, one season. I'll give you that. But I would also say Troy Aikman is literally in these meeting rooms. He's talking to these players. He's talking to these GMs. Maybe not Matt Ryan. I don't know about that and his job. But Troy Aikman, being a color commentator, that's what you do. Every week, you're talking to these guys. You're having conversations with them.
And Troy's given it time. So yeah, maybe he's learned along the way. Whereas Matt Ryan, where it could benefit him, he's kind of in that. He's not long from the game.
But I mean, everybody got mad when they hired Jeff Saturday to be a head coach.
Yes.
Well, right?
Because that was weird.
So is this. There's no difference to
this
me.
This was
though.
Like mid-season with Jeff Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, this is still hiring a former player that has no experience doing that job or even assisting in that job. It was one thing if Matt Ryan was working in the scouting department or was an assistant GM or was in there and was getting the lay of the land and learning what needed to be done. I mean, everybody ripped Jeff Saturday and thought that was a stupid hire. I love that hire. And I thought it was a good opportunity. Give the guy a chance. Let's see what he can do. Now Matt Ryan's going to be like, oh, it's a great hire because Matt Ryan looks good in a suit and Jeff Saturday had a couple of pounds on him.
This gives me a little bit
of... Call it what it is.
This gives me a little bit of the vibes of what Stanford did with Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Like they brought him in to be a general manager. What does Andrew Luck have to know about anything in college?
I think it's different in college because I think in college you need that face guy to go out there and kiss ass from the alums to write checks. You don't need the players in college. You need the money. And I think that's what the GM is more in charge of in college. At least that's where I would be focused on, going out and getting the money so then we can go get the players. And guys will write checks because they want to hang out with Andrew Luck.
You got another one word for us?
One word on the college football playoff so far.
Mid.
Yeah. I mean, we had one good game.
To me, it's fun to see Alabama get their ass kicked.
That was fun.
That was fun to watch, especially Cignetti and like his mannerisms on the sideline.
That guy's a beast.
It's awesome to watch Ole Miss do what they're doing. But outside of that, I mean, every game sucked.
Yeah, they really have. They've been awful.
I mean, the Ole Miss game, I mean, I thought the Texas Tech-Oregon game was going to be awesome. That game was terrible.
Terrible.
But everyone's like, you don't like defense and you don't like good. I'm like, there was like four turnovers for both teams.
Yeah, it wasn't a good game.
I wasn't watching that game going, wow.
I didn't hate it, but I wasn't on the edge of my seat.
It wasn't Texas Tech and Oregon. I know they both have good defenses, but when I hear Texas Tech and Oregon, I think we're going to get a, I mean, the line was 54.5.
Yep.
It was like 3-0.
Final score 23-3 or whatever it was.
Yeah, Oregon, Indiana is the championship.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll get that on Friday night.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it Thursday and Friday?
Yep. Thursday Ole Miss, and then
We got Thursday and Friday. Yeah. I mean,
well, it's obvious. You know why?
I know why. But like this is the, and I know we're getting to college football at 8 o'clock, and I'll just save it for 8 o'clock. But I mean, this has gone on way too long. Mm-hmm.
Is it longer than the NBA finals or playoffs?
Yeah, nothing's longer than that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But at least the NBA is not spending every 2 minutes trying to dodge something the NFL is doing. Mm-hmm. College football spends more time trying to dodge what the NFL is doing than just playing their damn games.
Dip, dive, duck, dodge, and dive. I ruined that, but it's okay. Coming up next, Mac wants answers. We give them to him here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
This is Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Kansas signs 70 eastbound, heavy before 18th Street Expressway. Stays pretty slow over to the split with 670 with construction affecting the exit ramp to 70. And then heading 35 southbound in Lenexa, things slow past 87. Stay heavy down past 95th Street with roadwork in the right lane. Alan Carr, 96.5 The Fan traffic.
Let's go. Max questions. You want questions? We got answers. You can't handle the truth. You've seen that, right? A Few Good Men?
Yes.
Okay. Tom Cruise. Is that his best movie?
Ooh, that's a long list.
I mean, my God.
Some bangers.
Yeah.
The Firm. Mission Impossible 1.
Big.
Risky Business.
Love Big.
Uh-oh, fart. Raymond, you fart. Ray, you effing fart. You said give your final award winners for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, we could do Chiefs, but also just in general, you know, some of these, because, I mean, we've been talking about Coach of the Year the last few weeks. I know it's one you've been following. That's coming down to the wire. MVP looks like that could be over. There's some fun ones, though, out there.
Who is the MVP this year?
You know the answer to that.
Drake May?
That's right.
I think so.
I think it has to be.
Yeah.
And then you have to give Coach of the Year to the guy in Seattle. I don't think
I love it.
I don't think Vrabel and May can get both, and I don't think the Seattle coach and Darnold can get both.
I agree.
If you give Coach of the Year to Vrabel, then the MVP goes to Sam Darnold. Who got fired?
No, you can make money still on Drake May.
You can?
Wow. Matthew Stafford, minus 180 on certain books. Matthew Stafford minus 180, Drake May plus 150. After that, it's plus 20,000. So, Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, the interesting thing for me is Matthew Stafford did not win his division. Sam Darnold is the quarterback that did win that division. And you guys said earlier you thought it was the toughest division in the NFL this year. And if you're the quarterback of the team that wins the toughest division and the guy who didn't win the division gets the MVP and he's a wild card team going on the road to Carolina, how does that make sense? To explain that one to me, because I look at it as the MVP should either be Drake May or it should be Sam Darnold. And I don't really know that there should be much of an argument being made. Those are the top two quarterbacks for the most part in each of their divisions. I know that New England isn't the number one seed. They're the two seed. Oh, well. And Bo Nix isn't the MVP. The defense is over there, so you can eliminate him from the conversation. So I really do. I think it's a four-headed race between Drake May and Sam Darnold for MVP and Vrabel and the Seattle head coach for the coach of the year. I think everybody else, in my opinion anyway, is now out of the equation.
Who's the MVP for the Chiefs this year? Is it Travis? The only consistent player throughout the entire year, led the team in receiving?
I mean, it has to be, right?
I can't think of anyone else.
I mean, Ariza?
Yeah.
You know,
Creed?
Creed, maybe. He played yesterday.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that guy's like, man, I thought I was hit. Come on, man. No, like, no. I'm out. I don't want to play anymore. Put Norzad in there. He's already in. Play him again. I mean, like, yeah, I don't know. I guess it has to be Travis Kelce. I don't know that there's anybody really else that's on. Like, nobody on defense did anything this year.
I thought Leo Chenault was really good when they gave him opportunity, but he's not on the field enough, so I get that.
Yeah.
I thought his attitude was always good, and that's kind of the reason I don't want to give it to Travis Kelce, because remember the first 8 weeks of the season, guys, we were talking about his attitude and his off-the-field stuff, or as far as on the bench, you know, just kind of when he's not playing, it's like, dude, get your head up. Like, you're the leader. So some of that stuff, I know he righted the ship in that way in the last 6 weeks or so, and it felt like he was really here and present and wanted to kind of be that positive insertion in the locker room and kind of be that leader. But the beginning of the season was a little rough in that regard. But you're right. I mean, I wouldn't be mad. He's the Chiefs MVP. It was pretty rough.
Yeah. BBL stinky. I mean, there really isn't. I mean, like, I know they always give the MVP award out or whatever, like the Mackley Hill Award, I think is what it may be, their MVP, or maybe that's the Rookie of the Year. Either way, they're going to award this year, and I think, look, I think it does go to Travis Kelce. I think ultimately he was the most valuable player on this team, still put up great numbers, and will go down as the greatest of all time at his position. And I think right now, for a season where nothing went right, literally nothing went right this year, Travis Kelce did go right for the most part, right? And you look back and you're like, man, I understand why he was frustrated, right? I think we all understand why he was frustrated. There was no running game. The wide receivers, can we just all admit now, was the most oversold position group in Kansas City sports history? I mean, like, we oversold, and I'm as guilty as anybody. Mm-hmm. I think we're all as guilty as anybody. That wide receiver group stinks. and that needs a reboot. So there's nobody from there that you can really take away and say, oh, this guy. So I understand why Travis was mad. There was no running game. The wide receivers were oversold to everybody, and he was really the only consistent guy from day one on this team.
Text line, Kelsey drops turned into picks. Can't make him the MVP. Got to be on the defensive side.
Who? I don't say text like that without giving an answer. That does nothing.
I like 785, though. MVP got to be Kareem.
He was there.
Kareem could be good, yeah. I mean, you could give a little Kareem Hunt
consistent,
MVP.
Played in the final game of the season as
well. Yeah, he did. Was there when you needed him.
Was your first down getter?
He did his job.
He did. Yeah, he absolutely did his job. But does that make you the MVP? No. I mean, that's where we are, though, with this team.
Yeah.
And so when changes happen this offseason, guys, and we see, you know, this guy go or that guy go, please don't complain and say, oh, I can't believe we let this guy go. We can't find an MVP for this team right now. Like, legitimately can't find somebody on this team right now that stood out this year. So don't be upset when anybody gets traded this offseason, because we're going to Leo Chenal and Kareem Hunt as potential MVPs. Mac put his hand to his face.
6'11".
Exactly. And 6'11". MVP is Kareem Hunt because he got you first down once.
6'11". I asked Binkley who he thinks the MVP is of this year's team.
Nobody.
That's right. Binkley's right.
But it is. I mean, but that like we're setting up the conversation because I know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
The league year is going to open. Trent McDuffie's going to get traded.
Oh,
and,
you can't do that.
And John from Raytown is going to lose his mind. Mm-hmm. How could we do that? There's 6-11 and you name Kareem Hunt your MVP.
A lot of people say Nick Bolton is the MVP of this team. 785, Clark Hunt, MVP, moving the team to Kansas, baby. You dog.
There we go.
Somebody says Patrick Mahomes, without a doubt. Come on, what are we doing?
Well, I mean, yes, but he didn't finish the year.
Yeah.
Take a bite out of my ass.
Playoff hot take as we wrap up this conversation.
The ratings are going to be way down, and people are going to be talking about how they missed the Chiefs in the playoffs, and it's not as exciting the Chiefs. It's going to happen.
I think you're right. I think you're actually right, even though I'm stoked. I'll go Bears are this year's Commanders, and Jags are going to the Super Bowl.
No, all right. Jags in the Super Bowl would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
The networks would love that.
Robin, if you're listening to this, please forgive me. The Bills will get bounced in the first round, and McDermott will get fired the next day.
Ooh, I like that.
Love it.
I like
Love
that.
It.
Yeah.
It's time.
It is.
You want to give Tomlin a bunch of stuff about... Yeah. Hello, 26. You want to give Tomlin a bunch of stuff about being in purgatory? McDermott?
Yep.
You have the quarterback.
There's no Burrow. There's no Mahomes. That's the only two dudes.
There's no Lamar.
The Burrow and Mahomes are the only two dudes that have ever knocked you out of the promised land to get into the Super Bowl. So, Bills, I don't know it could be the divisional round you lose in and get bounced.
It could be wild card. That is the best wild card game, in my opinion.
The Bills, Buffalo Jags. That's going to be a good game.
Two contenders, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Going to let Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence go in there. Second year, has Trevor Lawrence ever been in the playoffs and bounce you out? Because it ain't Mahomes, it ain't Burrow, and now it's Trevor Lawrence.
Well, let's talk about it, though. Like, what happens if Buffalo gets bounced? I think you've got to make drastic changes.
I think Dusty's right. I think it's the next day.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean,
see ya.
Yeah, it's Chubby, hey, buddy.
Gone.
Sorry, we're not having you open the new stadium.
Yeah,
this is a land of hope and dreams.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, and it'll be in Jacksonville as
That's right.
Well, it is. Yeah, it's on the road. Yeah, there's no more home games unless it's Buffalo versus L.A.
Bills are the 6th seed.
Yeah.
Chargers are the 7th seed. Texans are the 5th seed.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Yeah. McDermott, more pressure on him or Josh Allen?
No, it's all McDermott.
Josh Allen ain't going anywhere.
No, Josh Allen's not going anywhere.
That's
fair. It's on McDermott.
That's fair.
Absolutely on Sean McDermott.
We're talking about jobs.
Yeah.
We'll see. College football, Final Four is loaded with storylines. I'll dive into all four that I believe are the main ones on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Tune in to hear Mitch Holthus every Friday at 7:20, right here on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.